वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय नारायणं नमस्कृत्या नरं चैव नरोत्तमम् देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासम् ततो जयमुदीरयेत्. Before reciting the Srimad Bhagavatam, which is our very means of conquest, one should first offer respectful obeisance unto the personality of Godhead Narayan. Under Narayan Rishi, the supermost human being, Mother Saraswati, the goddess of learning, Srila Vyasadeva, the author, Srila Prabhupada, the translator, commentator, and our dearmost spiritual master. Nasta prayasho badreshu nityam bhagavata-sevaya Bhagavati Uttama Shloke Bhaktir Bhavadinaishtiki. What is it? By regular hearing of Srimad Bhagavatam and by rendering of service unto the pure devotee, all that is inauspicious to the heart is almost completely destroyed, and thus loving service unto the personality of Godhead, who is praised with transcendental songs, is established as an irrevocable fact. Continuing with Srimad Bhagavatam, and we're on Canto 10, Chapter 1, text number 16. Vasudeva Kata Prashna Purushams Trin Punati Hi Vaktaram Vaktaram Prachakam Srotrims Srotrims Tat Pada Shalilam Jata Vasudeva Kata Prashna Purusham Srin Punatihi Vaktaram Vrachakam Srotrims Tatpara Salilam Jata Vasudeva Kata Prashna Purusham Srin Punatihi Vaktaram Vrachakam Srotrims Tatpara Salilam Jata Vasudeva Kata Prashna Purusham Srin Punatihi Vaktaram Vrachakam Srotrims Tatpara Shalilam Tatjata. Vasudeva Kata Prasna Purusham Srin Punatihi Vaktaram Prachakam Srotrims Tatpara Shalilam Jata. Vasudeva Kata Prasna Purusham Srin Punatihi Vaktaram Vrachakam Srotrims Tatpara Salilam Jata Vasudeva Kata Prasna Purusham Srin Punatihi Vaktaram Vrachakam Srotrims Tatpara Shalilam Jata Vasudeva Kata Prashna Purusham Srin Punatihi Vaktaram Vrachakam Srotrims tadpara shalilam yata vasudeva katha prashna purusham strin punatihi vaktaram brachikam srotrims tadpara shalilam yata vasudeva katha prashna purusham srin punatihi vaktaram brachikam srotrims tadpara shalilam yata marijis Vasudeva Kata Prashna Purusham Srin Punatihi Vaktaram Brachakam Srotrims Tatpara Shalilam Yata Vasudeva Kata Prashna Purusham Srin Punatihi Vaktaram Brachakam Srotrims Tatpara Shalilam Yata Vasudeva Kata Prashna. Questions about the pastimes and characteristics of Vasudev Krishna. Purushan, persons. Trin, three. Punati, purify. He, indeed. Vaktaram, the speaker, such as Shukadeva Goswami. Prachakam, and an inquisitive hearer like Maharaj Parikshit. Srotrin, and between them, the listeners hearing about the topics. Tat pada shalilam yata. Exactly as the entire world is purified by the Ganges water emanating from the toe of Lord Vishnu. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. The Ganges, emanating from the toe of Lord Vishnu, purifies the three worlds, the upper, middle, and lower planetary systems. Similarly, when one asks questions about the pastimes and characteristics of Lord Vasudev, Krishna, three varieties of men are purified: the speaker or preacher, he who inquires, and the people in general who listen. Please repeat. The Ganges, emanating from the toe of Lord Vishnu, purifies the three worlds, the upper, middle, and lower planetary systems. Similarly, when one asks questions about the pastimes and characteristics of Lord Vasudev, Krishna, three varieties of men are purified: the speaker or preacher, he who inquires, and the people in general who listen. Srila Prabhupada's purport. It is said, Tasmad Gurum Prapadyeta Jigyasu Sre Uttamam, Srimad Bhagavatam 11.3.21. Those interested in understanding transcendental subject matters as the goal of life must approach the bona fide spiritual master. Tasmad Gurum Prapadyeta. One must surrender to such a guru who can give right information about Krishna. Herein, Maharaj Parikshit has surrendered to the right personality, Shukadeva Goswami, for enlightenment in Vasudeva Katha. Vasudeva is the original personality of Godhead who has unlimited spiritual activities. Srimad Bhagavatam is a record of such activities. And Bhagavad Gita is a record of Vasudev speaking personally. Therefore, since the Krishna consciousness movement is full of Vasudev Katha, anyone who hears, anyone who joins the movement, and anyone who preaches will be purified. Śrīla Prabhupāda ki jai. Om ajñāna tamanandasya gananjana salakaya chakshurun melitam jena tasmai shī gurave namaha. I was born in the darkness of ignorance, but my eternal spiritual master, Om Vishnupad Paramahamsa Parirajikicharyasta Tarasarishi Shimad, Shilesi Bhaktivananda Swami Srila Prabhupada, has forced my eyes open with the torchlight of knowledge. Therefore I offer my most humble obeisances unto his lotus feet. How could I ever forget his mercy upon me? Vasudeva Katha Prashna Purusham Srin Punatihi Vaktaram Prachakam Shrotrims Tatpara Shalilam Jata. The Ganges, emanating from the toe of Lord Vishnu, purifies the three worlds, the upper, middle, and lower planetary systems. Similarly, when one asks questions about the pastimes and characteristics of Lord Vasudev, Krishna, three varieties of men are purified: the speaker or preacher, he who inquires, and the people in general who listen. So now we're up to the 10th canto, and everything up to here is preparing us for the 10th canto, culminating in the supermost activity with Krishna's supermost devotees, the gopis, in the Maharasa dance. So to prepare us for such unalloyed and elevated devotion, Srimad Bhagavatam takes us through all the different categories and explanations so we can understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead in proper context. And by understanding, hearing about Krishna through the activities of his material energy, to begin with, how he creates, maintains, destroys the universe, and his pastimes with different devotees, life on other planets. So many descriptions are there given in Srimad Bhagavatam. We can gain a, shall we say, scientific understanding of who the personality of Godhead is. Otherwise, as Srila Prabhupada has often said, that religion without philosophy is simply sentimentalism, and it doesn't give anyone any real concrete idea of who God is. So to understand who God is and understand that God is a source of everything and we are all part and parcel of God, therefore we have to understand categorically who God is. That's simply base logic. If we don't understand who God is, how he acts in so many different ways, how, although he has created and expanded this whole material universal situation and has become the universe, still everything is not God, and God keeps his separate spiritual existence. So this, throughout Bhagavatam, we get an insight which sheds some light on the first comment Srila Prabhupada is making in his purport about how those interested in transcendental subject matters as a goal of life must approach a spiritual master. And so this, this understanding is the essential point of human life. Therefore, how this is accomplished is very, very important. And therefore, we must hear it said that one of the qualifications of Maharaj Parikshit, as Sukadeva Goswami has said, is because he is hearing with rapt attention. So if we hear Srimad Bhagavatam with rapt attention and we listen to the nuances of this conversation between Sukadeva Goswami and Maharaj Parikshit, and then again between Suta Goswami and the sages, we can pick up different insights which will help us in understanding how we have to approach a spiritual master. Even in the previous verse here, Sukadeva Goswami said, "O Your Majesty, best of all saintly kings, because you are greatly attracted to the topics of Vasudeva, it is certain that your intelligence is firmly fixed in spiritual understanding, which is the only true goal for humanity. Because that attraction is unceasing, it is certainly sublime." So he's systematically throughout the Bhagavatam congratulating Maharaj Parikshit in his inquiries, and he's encouraging him more and more. And on the other hand, Maharaj Parikshit is inquiring in a very submissive manner. This is the real qualification of these ancient kings, and why this situation of having a Rajarshi in charge of the planet and ruling is considered the best kind of government. Because when that and the specific qualification of a Rajarshi or a saintly king, and we can see throughout the Bhagavatams, there's so many examples of these kings, warriors who are unbelievably powerful, who, you know, when we consider the most powerful person that might be on the planet today, there's just no comparison. These Raja Rishis, many of them had mystic powers as well. They were Maharatis. They could fight individually with many thousands of men. But their real power, and the real power that we can glean from an epic like Mahabharata, when we read about, and of course throughout the Bhagavatam also, when we read about these pastimes between these great devotees and other devotees, these great saintly kings, we see how their main quality and their main emphasis, their main mindset is based on the quality of virtue. And therefore, it's very instructive that when they approach an elevated personality, even though they may be incredibly self-realized and have just finished doing austerities and meditating for tens of thousands of years, when they come in contact with, say, a self-realized, other self-realized person, or say, for example, when Kardava Muni came in touch with Swayambhuva Manu, he visited the hermitage of Kardava Muni. We can see by those interactions the incredible humility that the sage Kardava had, and that endeared him to the king and endeared him to the Supreme Personality of Godhead as well. So, and I'll just go through a little bit and go through some of these other statements by the sages to give us a little bit of further insight into these wonderful relations between the devotees interested in hearing and the spiritual masters who are having this perfect knowledge. In the beginning of Bhagavatam, it said, the sages of Namisharanya are addressing Suta Goswami, and they say, "Veta Tvam Saumya Tat Sarvam Tatvatas Taranugrahat Bruyu Shnigdashya Shishyasya Kuruvo Guhyam Apyuta." And because you are submissive, speaking to Suta Goswami, your spiritual masters have endowed you with all the favors bestowed upon a gentle disciple. Therefore, you can tell us all that you have scientifically learned from them. And then Maharaj Parikshit, further on, is inquiring from Sukadeva Goswami. He says, "You are the spiritual master of great saints and devotees. I am therefore begging you to show the way of perfection for all persons, and especially for one who is about to die. Please let me know what a man should hear, chant, remember, and worship, and also what he should not do. Please explain this all to me." Sukadeva Goswami replied, "My dear king, your question is glorious because it is beneficial very beneficial to all kinds of people. This is similar to what, you know, we've just read in the text today. The answer to this question is the prime subject matter for hearing. The answer to this question is the prime subject matter for hearing, and it is approved by all transcendentalists. That very Srimad Bhagavatam, I shall recite before you because you are the most sincere devotee of Lord Krishna, one who gives full attention and respect to hearing Srimad Bhagavatam achieves unflinching faith in the Supreme Lord, the giver of salvation. So this is the incredible benefit. Throughout Srimad Bhagavatam, it talks about all the different benedictions one gets from hearing Srimad Bhagavatam. In the second chapter of First Canto also, it's mentioned that one should hear the Bhagavatam unceasingly and with proper motivation at the same time. And this is also is explained how one should approach the spiritual master. One shouldn't approach him, Srila Prabhupada says, just like, you know, a ritualistic type of things, just like one may keep a pet dog in one's house. So one may think, well, you know, a spiritual master is a kind of a nice ornamental thing that gives me some prestige. Let me get a spiritual master. No, one has to surrender to the spiritual master and ask relevant questions. And then, if the spiritual master is pleased, he can bestow knowledge on the, as it's mentioned here, gentle disciple. Srila Prabhupada actually mentions in a class I just heard how one who is not surrendered to the spiritual master, he actually is not qualified to even ask a question. And we see that many times. People would ask Srila Prabhupada questions, even reporters and different people, that were, you know, very, very challenging, unsubmissive. You know, they're not a disciple, and they're asking these questions almost like demanding that Srila Prabhupada must answer them. And Srila Prabhupada many times would give an answer which would indicate the lack of qualification on the person asking the question. So this process of obtaining knowledge from a self-realized spiritual master is really important. And the most important aspect to that is that we are able to be able to get perfect knowledge. So this perfect knowledge is the real point of approaching a spiritual master in the first place. And it's the most important aspect of us advancing in Krishna consciousness. I'll read the from the 13th chapter the different qualities of one who is the symptoms of knowledge. These are the different qualities. Humility, pridelessness, nonviolence, tolerance, simplicity. Approaching a bona fide spiritual master, cleanliness, steadiness, self-control, renunciation of the objects of sense gratification, absence of false ego, the perception of the evil of birth, death, old age, and disease, detachment, freedom from entanglement with children, wife, home, and the rest, even-mindedness among pleasant and unpleasant events, constant and unalloyed devotion to me, aspiring to live in a solitary place, detachment from the general mass of people, accepting the importance of self-realization and philosophical search for the absolute truth, all these I declare, says Krishna, to be knowledge, and besides this, whatever there may be, is ignorance. So the first quality in all this, amaditvam, is humility. Humility. And the second quality is adambidvam, pridelessness. And this humility, as we know, is the most important quality in advancing in Krishna consciousness. And it's mentioned by Lord Chaitanya in his Shishashtika. And this humility is essential quality and is the real symptom of one who's developed knowledge. And the opposite of this is pride. One who is very prideful, that's the symptom that he does not have perfect knowledge. So it's really nice also actually in the Sri Upanishad, this same verse is explained in the purport to verse 10 of Upanishad really nicely by Srila Prabhupada. The Sanskrit is Anyad Evahur Vidyaya, Anyad Ahura Vidyaya, Itishu Shruma Dhiranam, Inastad Vichachakshire. And Sri Upanishad says that the wise have explained that one result is derived from the culture of knowledge, and that a different result is obtained from the culture of nescience. And then Srila Prabhupada says that, as advised in the 13th chapter, which we just read, verses 8 through 12, one should culture knowledge in the following way. And this is really interesting because instead of explaining just the qualities as we just read in the Bhagavad Gita, Prabhupada gives another way of explaining the same quality. So, for example, the first quality of humility, Prabhupada says that one should become a perfect gentleman and learn to give respect to others. This is the quality of humility. And so Krishna mentions that, you know, actually it mentions in this verse, actually later on in the purport, Srila Prabhupada mentions at the end of all these qualities that one can take these things as a test to see how much he is advancing in spiritual life. The second quality is that one should not pose himself as a religionist simply for name and fame. This is false pride, one who poses himself as a religionist just for name and fame. So that's the second quality. The third, one should not become a source of anxiety for others by actions of his body, by the thoughts of his mind, or by his words. That's ahimsa. That's nonviolence. Isn't that interesting? Prabhupada's definition of nonviolence is that one should not become a source of anxiety to others by the actions of his body, by thoughts of his mind, or by his words. The next one is one should learn forbearance even in the face of provocation from others, tolerance. The next one is one should learn to avoid duplicity in his dealings with others. That's simplicity. Srila Prabhupada again gives a definition of simplicity, that one should learn to avoid duplicity in his dealings with others. These are very, 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 I think very practical and very good to remember these things. It's always good to have tests for ourselves as we are going through our Krishna conscious activities from day to day to judge, see how we're advancing in Krishna consciousness and what we have to work on. So I won't go through all the rest of these. We read them in their essential form. But these are some of the important qualities that one must be developing as he's advancing in knowledge, as one is advancing in Krishna consciousness. So now what I thought we'd do is, since we're talking about qualities and since we're in the 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, I thought we'd read some of the qualities of Krishna. Since it's also Shivaratri, and we understand that Lord Shiva is powerful incarnation of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He's one of the qualitative incarnations in charge of the mode of ignorance and destroys the material world. And when it's time for annihilation, it's said that Krishna does not personally interact with the material nature, that at the time of creation, the Lord glances over material nature, over the pradhan. His glance is considered the time factor, and when he impregnates all the living entities into material nature, and that glance is also considered the time factor that awakens living entities to their previous karma, previous activities, and that glance is also considered to be Lord Shiva. So it's explained that Lord Shiva is non-different from Krishna in the same way that yogurt is non-different from milk. It can be said that yogurt is nothing but milk. At the same time, it is different. It acts very differently than milk. You can't exchange one for the other. So Lord Shiva, Krishna is considered milk, Lord Shiva like yogurt. So Krishna's features, as explained by Śrīla Rūpa Gosvāmī, who's got this information from so many different shastras, these are the different qualities of Krishna. First of all, beautiful features of the entire body. Two, marked with all auspicious characteristics. Three, extremely pleasing. Four, effulgent. Five, strong, ever youthful. Wonderful linguist, truthful. Nine, talks pleasingly. 10, fluent. 11, highly learned. 12, highly intelligent. 13, a genius. 14, artistic. 15, extremely clever. 16, expert. 17, grateful. 18, fully determined. 19, an expert judge of time and circumstances. 20, sees and speaks on the authority of Vedas or scriptures. 21, pure. 22, self-controlled. 23, steadfast. 24, forbearing. 25, forgiving. 26, grave. 27, self-satisfied. 28, possessing equilibrium. 29, magnanimous. 30, religious. 31, heroic. 32, compassionate. 33, respectful. 34, gentle. 35, liberal. 36, shy. 37, the protector of surrendered souls. 38, happy. 39, the well-wisher of devotees. 40, controlled by love. 41, all auspicious. 42, most powerful. 43, all famous. 44, popular. 45, partial to devotees. 46, very attractive to all women. Oops. Sorry, I lost it there. 46, attractive to all women. 47, all worshipable. 48, all opulent. 49, all honorable. 50, the supreme controller. So Krishna has these 50 transcendental qualities in fullness as deep as the ocean. In other words, the extent of his qualities is inconceivable. And then besides these 50 qualities, Lord Krishna possesses 5 more, and these 5 are sometimes partially manifest in Lord Brahma and Lord Shiva. And these transcendental qualities are 51, changeless, 52, all cognizant, 53, ever fresh, 54, Sakchidananda, possessing an eternal blissful body, 55, possessing all mystic perfections. And Krishna also possesses 5 other qualities which are manifest in the body of Narayan. Not Lord Shiva or Brahma has these qualities. 56, he has inconceivable potency. 57, uncountable universes generate from his body. 58, he is the original source of incarnations. 59, he is a giver of salvation to the enemies whom he kills. And 60, he's a tractor of liberated souls. And besides these 60 transcendental qualities, Krishna has 4 more, which are only manifest in Krishna's form, neither Narayan or Shiva or Brahma. And 61, he's a performer of wonderful varieties of pastimes, especially his childhood pastimes. He's surrounded by devotees endowed with wonderful love of Godhead. 63, he can attract all living entities all over the universes by playing on his flute. 64, he has a wonderful excellence of beauty which cannot be rivaled by anywhere in the creation. So it's a little bit late now. It's 6:20. But I wanted to just very briefly read the story of Lord Shiva and how he became the gopi, Gopeshwar Mahadev. And I got this from the internet, and there may be different varieties of this story, so I hope this is pretty accurate. So it says that Lord Shiva was meditating on Mount Kailash, and he heard the sweet vibration of Krishna playing his flute. Mesmerized, he entered samadhi. He followed that transcendental sound until he came to Vrindavan, where Lord Gopinath was getting ready to start the Maharas dance with his gopis. Desiring intensely to join the Maharas, when he came to the entrance of the Rasastali, he was stopped by Yoga Maya, who told him, "No males except Krishna are allowed to enter. First, you must have a gopi rupa, the form of a Raj milkmaid, a gopi. Only then can you enter." Lord Shiva asked, "How can I get a gopi rupa?" Yogamaya replied, "Seek the shelter of Vrindadevi. She will grant you the form of a gopi." Vrindadevi asked Lord Shiva to take a dip in the waters of Manasarova in Vrindavan. After bathing there, Lord Shiva emerged from the lake with a beautiful form of a gopi. Vrindadevi then took Lord Shiva in her gopi form to one corner of the Rasastali. Lord Shiva stood there and prayed to Shri Radha Krishna for getting prema bhakti. Then the rasa dance started. Lord Krishna danced with all the gopis. He also danced very elegantly with Lord Shiva, disguised as a gopi. Then after some time, when they rested, the Lord said, "I'm not getting the usual pleasure from our rasa. Something's not right. I think there's another man in our midst." Then he asked Lalita Devi to check all the gopis and make sure no man was lurking amongst them, dressed as one of them. Lalita Devi went around and lifted the veils of all the hundreds of gopis. But she couldn't find any man dressed, disguised as a woman. She came and reported to Krishna, "I have not found any man, but there is one gopi with three eyes," she said, puzzled. Lord Krishna asked her to bring her to him. When the Lord saw the Shiva gopi, he laughed heartily and addressed him, "O Gopeshwara, I am very pleased to see you in the form of a gopi, but you know that this rasa is not for grihasthas. Therefore, since you have already participated and fulfilled your desire, now I offer you the post of Rasa Dwarapala, gatekeeper of the rasa. I also give you the blessing that henceforth all the gopis will offer respect to you and seek your blessings to get gopi bhava." This pastime is described in the Garga Samhita. Jai Lord Shiva Shri Maheshwara Gopishwara Ki Jai. And there's a wonderful temple of Mahadev in Vrindavan, Gopeshwar. It's actually the first temple, considered the first temple in Vrindavan. It's also mentioned that Sanatan Goswami used to visit that temple every day. And in his old age, he had a dream, and Mahadev came to him and said, "Now you're, you know, very aged. You don't have to come to my temple every day." And Sanatan Goswami said, "No, this is my habit of doing this. I won't change." So then Lord Shiva actually moved halfway between Sanatan Goswami and where the Gopeshwar temple was to give him his, make it easier for him to see him. So it's 25 after 8. If there's maybe one short question we can ask. Otherwise, all glories to Grantharaj, Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai. Jai Lord Shiva Mahadev Gopeshwar Ki Jai. I was a little under the weather.
You did?
Yeah. Oh.